You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Sam, listeners, Light Years Podcast, do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How do you like to hit the reset button to get ready for what's next? There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Wow, that's amazing. That way you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open up a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment and made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hey there. We at Blue Wire just wanted to take a second to thank you for listening to this podcast. We know everything outside is pretty scary and uncertain, but we're committed to helping you get through your day by talking about the sports and teams that you love most. If you're looking for more great podcasts to distract you, check out BlueWirePods.com. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the podcast and stay safe.
Light years is so fucking crazy to me. It's so crazy. Light years is so fucking crazy to me. It's so crazy.
Welcome to Light Years. The Light Years. Are we still calling it Haberkopf, or is it the Guy Haberman, John Middlecoff podcast? What's the formal name now?
Ham. Yeah, all that works.
Yeah. Promo codes to throw out.
That's right.
Promo code Ham. You know, Haberman Middlecoff.
I appreciate you guys jumping on and been meaning to do this.
We're on your podcast. I thought you guys were on our podcast.
I don't know. Well, maybe we can compare numbers.
Your intro is way better. So
start talking about it afterwards.
Yeah. At least you have an intro. It's usually just me and Sam fucking jerking each other off for like 30 seconds.
I have Jerry Krause here to negotiate the contract.
See, that was a Jordan type move. He like took us golfing. You know, he's like, you guys want, we'll do a joint podcast. And he's like, yeah. It's our podcast. Like, whoa, never fucking know.
Oh, and tell DJ I got something for him tomorrow.
Oh, so I guess we got to start with that. That's the, before the special aired, you got the story from Ramona Shelbourne kind of saying that the 2016 finals was what made Jordan agree to this. He saw either the Warriors were going to win 73 in a title and that would challenge the Bulls, or LeBron was going to pull off what he ended up pulling off, which was, you know, the 3-1 comeback and kind of an epic comeback. And that's what made him want to agree to this. Where are you guys on that overall?
On him waiting?
Yeah, I just love the pettiness level of it at this point, where it's just he didn't want to release any of this until he saw someone potentially challenge.
Yeah, it's like such a poker move, isn't it? Like, hold your ace until you need it.
Yeah.
Like, if he had released it like in, I don't know, 07.
I see. I'm gonna go bullshit on that a little bit. I just think as you get older, maybe it helped a little bit, but like, this was coming sooner or later, whether LeBron won 4 or 5 or never won again. Like, you can just tell. Like, I just think he wants to tell. He's so removed from when he played. Now, did that impact a little bit? I know it sounds good, and I don't know.
What if Steph had won? I mean, Steph would have won 2 back-to-back titles, back-to-back MVP. 73 wins would have probably been the greatest season of all time. Probably would have been a good shot to release that thing anyway. I feel like he probably would have thrown that thing out regardless of what had happened if the Cavs had won or Steph would have won.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, people were kind of comparing Steph, not to Michael, but like, you know, he was changing the game a little like Michael did.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael's the pettiest guy ever, so fuck.
I mean, I think that
my point is it was coming sometime, you know, whether it was coming 16, 20, 25, like while he was alive, they were going to do this.
I thought the part about the Ramona piece too, that was enlightening though, was her saying like part of Michael was he didn't want to like, he didn't want to put the period on his story before he, like when he still felt like he had a lot of story left to write, you know, the idea that like he would put up his, like this is his, could be viewed as his tombstone, but he's not dead yet. And that's always what kind of kept him from putting anything out.
But do you buy that?
I think all that stuff is probably an element. Like to John's point, I doubt it's all the Cavs won and Jordan was like, it's time. I mean, they still had to go to him, give him a pitch, and it had to be, it couldn't have been the five of us going to Mike, like, Mike, you ready? Mike's just looking for somebody to make his doc. Like the guy who made the Iverson doc and Friday Night Lights and all, like that was the guy that had to pitch him. So I think it's probably partly that, and partly Michael just, I don't know, didn't want to write the final chapter of it. He probably was waiting for the Bobcats to win a championship, so that can be part of the doc.
Yeah, wait till 20.
He's formally given up on Charlotte winning anything ever.
You can be waiting.
I forgot he ran the Bobcats, honestly.
How about my favorite part of like all the stuff I read leading up was that Klay Thompson's uncle is the one that was like responsible for filming this entire season.
He was the video guy?
Michael's younger brother is the one that went to his bosses at NBA Entertainment, one of whom is now the commissioner of the NBA, and was like, we should film all this stuff. And then Adam Silver went to Michael and was like, look, neither one of us can use any of this footage without the other one's permission. And so Michael agreed. But it's
and what I didn't realize was, NBA Entertainment was something that apparently Adam Silver was kind of headed up in the 90s, and it was like a very bit part thing of the NBA, and it obviously grew into all their film footage and everything they use now, but like at the time it was
trying to be like NFL films back then a little bit.
Yeah, but like on such a smaller scale, like they didn't really know what they had with it. And then I mean, I'm sure someone was going through the footage at some point like 5-10 years ago, like, wait, we have the 98 Bulls and everything.
I'm just laughing, remembering like the NBA TV stopped using those headsets that just like one big headset with that big mic that comes across like 2 years ago, which is the stuff the camera guys use. So,
well, to me, you notice right away, Michael's the coolest motherfucker in every room he's ever been in. And he by far, once he got to the NBA, still to this day, like that's where the LeBron comparison, like, he's just never going to be that cool. And the NBA was bigger than the NFL at points and times in the 90s. Now, obviously, Larry and Magic played a huge role in that. But Michael put that thing on his back in the early 90s and even the late 80s and took it to another level. Like, they were bigger than any NFL team by far in the 90s. And he was easily the most famous athlete. Like, the NBA, if I was thinking about if I was an owner in the NBA – obviously, it sucks right now. You get the world's shut down. But just even if the league was going on, you'd be like, how could our league be like that again? It's had, you know, moments over time. I mean, the Warriors dynasty, I think, was enormous. But the rest of the league just was not even close to on that level. Like, at the end of the day, I was in the car today, and they're playing Stockton and Malone. You know, I mean, just the other players in the league that are part of it, I don't know if they'll ever get back there. And there's obviously a bunch of elements to Michael and the way the players were. It was just so different, but it was so, to me, it's just having watched a bunch of old NBA these last like month as a
7-year contracts, John, that's the answer.
Ooh,
the Pippen contract.
That's what, $18 million.
So I knew Pippen had the, like, that was kind of the key elixir to their team. And like, that's kind of a general theme in the NBA. Like, because it's a capped sport and everything, it's any dynasty is tied with some player signing a below market deal, and it allows the GM and everyone to maneuver. Yeah, but I did not remember it being that low.
I didn't either.
Like, I'm looking at, I'm pulling this up right now.
122nd paid player in 98, incredible. 97.
And Jerry Krause says he's one of the best players in the league, even as he's trying to trade him.
The owner told him not to sign the deal.
Is that true? Like, I mean, I know he said it, but.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounded crazy when he said it. I just kind of went with it.
I'm calling BS on that one.
I am too, because I was like, oh, that's what a great guy. And you're like, no way he said that.
How about like Jerry Krause is the GM of the Chicago White Sox and just goes to Jerry Reinsdorf and says, I want to run your team. And everyone tells Jerry Reinsdorf, don't let him do it. It's not like he's got some analytics. It's not like he got a bunch of
books. Just to put this in perspective, by the way, Scottie Pippen was the sixth highest paid player on that Bulls team. Players who made more money than him were Luke Longley, Tony Kukoc, Dennis Rodman, Ron Harper, obviously Michael Jordan.
Do you have Rodman's salary that year?
Yeah, 4.5.
What was Mike? Hit like 25?
30 points. He had the you remember when Beckham came over to the MLS and they're like, yeah, it's a Beckham contract, and like, who cares about the MLS? But the big thing was he was getting paid 20 times what anyone else made. Jordan made $33 million. The next highest paid player was Ron Harper, who made 4.5.
So Phil Jackson was the second. Phil Jackson was making six.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Phil Jackson was the second highest paid guy on the team.
Didn't Scottie go bankrupt in the last decade?
He's had his financial issues.
Did he?
It kind of hit me. You know, it would probably be hard for Scottie to do. But if he just reached out to Mike and be like, bro, can I get a little cash? I mean, Jesus Christ, you keep blowing me in all these videos. And every time you talk about me, I died.
Here's the secondary
net worth, actually, which I was like, I was wondering what it was, like $30 million, which is like, what the
Scottie? I think the Bulls just fired him last week, didn't they?
It's like, geez.
This is actually a great number too.
Yeah, Scottie, he was like, Pippen, I don't care. I want to be a part of a winner.
Scottie Pippen, because he played longer than Jordan and chased just paydays into his late 30s, made more money in the NBA than Jordan
in salary.
Yeah, just NBA salary. Like, not talking, like, obviously.
Oh, you're saying post Bulls. What year does Scottie play till?
2003 or 2004, maybe, something like that. I mean, he signed a $70 million deal with the Rockets immediately after this Bulls team blew up. And then he signed another one with Portland, I want to say.
Yeah. So Scottie would have signed with anybody who was offering him cash.
I'm curious.
He's like one of those MLB players on the market where it's like, he's got Scott Boras' agent. He's like, whatever, just get me the most money possible.
Scott Boras to go. I'm curious how they talked about Scottie Pippen in that day, in the media in that day. I'm wondering if they talked about him as like a great wingman, or was he kind of, it kind of seems like he's a little underrated, at least from what the documentary is saying, but that's all I've got going off of it.
I agree. It feels like that, like 20 years later.
Okay, so, especially when they're talking about the NAIA tape.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So like, he's as big as a center, guy, but he's got a handle.
you guys are same age as me. So you remember, I mean, you have the same line of sight memory as me, like, and all that. And I do not remember Pippen being revered in the 90s the way he's talked about now. Like, he wasn't talked about as one of the top players outside of Jordan. Like, Jordan was on his own tier, and then it was like, I don't know, Ewing, Barkley, Hakeem, like
Reggie.
All those guys. Yeah, Reggie.
Malone.
Exactly. You know. Malone's the obvious one, yeah.
And Gary all Payton. Those guys.
Yeah.
Don't you think though, when you're the guy on a team in the NBA, it's like you're the quarterback almost. Like, you just get way. So if you're the B,
sure.
It's why Clay, you know, before Kevin Durant got here, or, you know, there's other probably situations.
You're saying if Scottie just played for like the Timberwolves and was the best player?
Yeah, it was like a 8-time All-Star.
Leading the Wolves to the like the second round every year.
Yeah, he just would have been viewed as like Tracy McGrady or whatever. You know, maybe not that, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, possibly.
But he couldn't score like that, I guess.
Playstyle-wise, he does seem like a souped-up Andre Iguodala, like prime souped-up Andre Iguodala. Like, if Andre never
soup that up like 10 times soup more than you're thinking.
That's really fucking good. I mean, that's...
But like, Andre at like 28, if you had put him with like Steph and those guys, would have been unstoppable. Like, when I got hired in Philly, it was right as he was like... People shit on him because he was the A.
For people that don't know, you worked for Sam Hinkie, just for people who aren't.
I worked for Sam Hinkie, and when we were devising the plan, how many elements to this doc, too, of just like modern day NBA of tanking Mike Riff?
Oh. Okay, so where do we start there? Just in terms of, oh man, some of the quotes we'll go over, but the one that sticks out to me the most is MJ plays through an injury, doesn't tell the team, comes back. Early
goes to North Carolina.
All things that would never happen today. It's like I can't imagine. Like, what is even the comp? Well,
you remember when
second year?
Remember
MJ?
When Peyton Manning hurt his back and went to Duke, but no one had footage.
Yeah,
and right. It was like he was doing some secretive shit.
Yeah. Was he doing meetings there too?
Even that, what was that, 7 years ago?
Yeah, he
was Jim,
older,
wasn't that
though?
When Jim Harbaugh went to meet? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, but like Michael, I guess, was in a second year, so it doesn't parallel that.
Right, sure.
It'd be what's like Zion or something next year, like going back to Duke and train. I mean, it'd be crazy.
That's revered back, or at least like that's revered now. But you look at it now, we have an article that comes out a few years ago about how LeBron takes rest on defense and how that's the smartest way to play basketball in today's league. You kind of compare and contrast the way that you kind of think about playing basketball with the two best players in the eras, and you're just like, holy shit.
Well, that's more of a media point. Like the fact that an article is written,
but that's what's like, being
praising a dude for not playing defense to conserve his energy kind of sums up the NBA's problems.
But there's just so much more media. Like in order to just to come up with a different point, it's you got to work pretty hard sometimes.
But I do think what Andy said about not just the media, I think a lot of fans were like, yeah, we can just play, our best guys can play 65 games as long as we're ready for the playoffs. You know, that's not how Mike thought. Kobe didn't think like that. And again, I'll give LeBron was playing every game this year, but he was kind of doing it in spite because last year he had a rest year. Kawhi's resting. Like it was calculated. Mike, part of Mike, and I think this is what parallels like Tiger Woods, is like it had nothing to do with fucking money. All winning. Now the money comes with it. I'm not saying that's not a huge part of it, his whole career, but winning. That's the only fucking thing that mattered. And that's why when like Larry and Magic, James Worthy, when these guys talk about him, you see the way they
that's
light
the
up.
One. Yep. That, yep.
I mean, James Worthy said he was better than him for 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah.
Dude was the number one pick in the draft after that season, and Michael still had 2 years left in college and had a seven-time All-Star.
The footage of Michael riding his bike around campus at Chapel Hill just for 3 years. Just
you almost
loving
came
life.
Back. He said he was thinking about coming back.
Years. He had to talk to a coach.
Okay, I'm calling BS on this part. This was definitely the let's paint me to look a certain way kind of propaganda part of the documentary
about going back to school.
Yeah, no. And just kind of like I'm all about school and all this. I'm like I'm calling a little BS on that to a little bit.
That'd be a good call. Roy Williams, only player that could turn it on and off was Michael Jordan, and he never fucking turned it off.
I also think in 2000,
Andy, that's the best. That's such a great quote because Roy, you can feel Roy is like
he was dramatic with that.
Roy is mad at his team right now when he says that.
One thing I will defend Mike on in 1984 at North Carolina. I mean, they got nailed like 3 years ago for doing the test. I would imagine Michael didn't have to do a goddamn thing in class. He could fuck anything that walked. He was a god, and life was, and they were like an NBA team. So he might not have gone to class for 2 years and got straight A's. You know, it'd be like LSU football. I mean, it was just probably a joke for him. I bet his life was pretty good. You know,
because I totally buy that.
Yeah, I just think he was.
Actually, that reminds me, the letter his mom read that he sent her. Might have been my favorite part of the first two parts of the episode, where he's asking his mom to send money.
Where he says, sorry about the phone bill.
Yes.
Yes. Like John and I have talked about this many times. If you grew up, there's the group of people who grew up in an age where you like made collect calls or long distance phone calls.
Right.
And then there's probably our age group. Andy used to have to pay per text message.
Actually, I did too. Yeah. In high school.
Oh, you did.
So
okay.
I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you there. Yeah.
For anyone too young to remember, the phone bill used to be 10 cents a text.
Yeah.
And John and I have talked about this. Like we both, my freshman year of college, I remember, I think you were still in high school when your dad yelled at you for it.
Well, but. I mean, there was a Adrian Peterson type beating coming my way. My dad came down the hallway with a piece of paper. He was so red and I couldn't quite tell what it was. And then I saw it was like $475. Because at the time, it was like 10 cents a text message up to 100 text messages, and then it just gets like a dollar. It was just something outrageous.
Was she worth it?
Yeah, she was at the time. Okay, and I tried to explain it to him. He didn't understand what a text message was. And now it's like they're just free, a part of life, you know. It's
better than the house phone ringing at 11:30 at night.
Exactly. It's like I'm not bothering anyone. I'm just in my room texting away. Jeez Louise.
$500 back then. Wow, that is impressive.
It might have been like $375 or four. It was outrageous, even at the time when a bill.
That's when you start considering, like, you're not just sending the LOL back. You're sending a full response when you need
sending
to text.
An essay.
LOL didn't exist then. No,
it was, no.
AOL did, but. I thought John texted me when this happened early, right? So after he leaves college and he goes pro and the producer, whoever's talking to him, asks him about the Bulls. Were they really called a traveling cocaine circus? And I didn't expect Michael to be like, yeah, let me tell you the story. I didn't expect that at all.
Well, he's drinking a little. That right. He's got a little liquid courage.
Well, you could tell
that was,
the interview,
that was
like,
a fake laugh, by the way. His response. Still, like, he knew the question was coming. It was a very, like,
the whiskey goes down and, like, the sun goes, you know, like, the right, whiskey is at different levels during different points of the interview, which is either, you know, like a hole in the timeline, but it also could be that he just keeps refilling the whiskey as he's going. But at that point, because John texted me, like, I did not expect us to get into cocaine 15 minutes into this documentary, but.
Well, because Mike was like, yeah, there's lines right over there. We got hookers over here, and then he with a straight face was like, "Yeah, I just walked out."
I'm
like,
"Get out of here!"
I mean, come on, man.
There's a raid, and then the next scene they show him fixing up his bed, in like a room,
and
like,
washing his bull shorts at his home.
To me, there's a chance, right? North Carolina, pretty sheltered. You know, he's from that area.
Sure.
Never seen it. I kind of believe that. But then, like, a year later in the golfing scene, like, he's kind of just letting loose already.
Yeah.
Like, he must have transformed pretty quick because, like, it felt by the time they started winning, he was a big drinker and gambler. So when did that kind of kick in? Like, when the money started hitting in the
mid-80s? Like everything else. It just 2 weeks, James Worthy.
2 weeks.
So we think no cocaine for Mike in that room when he walked out.
I buy it right then and there. I do buy it at that point in his life.
But then Rod Higgins, who was on the team trying to claim like him and Mike, because I think that became his GM with the Hornets. Was
Rod
he
Higgins
not a
did become
guy?
His GM.
He was the Hornets GM?
Yeah. By the way, also on the Warriors, used to run a nice little basketball camp in the East Bay with Chris Mullen
and
in the early 90s.
Say it.
Definitely
Fresno
went
State.
To that one.
Is he a Fresno State guy? Yeah. Yep. I mean, him. It's like Mike's boy. So I kind of had the vibe, like, was he sitting there with his wife? Like, I wasn't in there either, honey. It wasn't me.
And Michael told me the story later. It blew my mind. Crazy.
That was all Orlando Woodbridge. Yeah, over there.
Threw his own team under the bus. What a legend.
It was incredible.
Yeah, it was wild. Also, the guy played with the gold chain. That was
two.
How sweet.
Incredible.
And one was like a choker.
I always get offended when people act like Mike. He's like, he. I saw this on Twitter. Again, it's Twitter. He couldn't shoot threes. It's like, guys, I mean, the guy is like the greatest jump shooter of all time. You don't think if like threes were a big part of his game, he would have adapted to become the guy. Might not have been fucking Klay Thompson, but he would have been if James Harden, all these guys shoot threes, he would have been fine.
Kirk Goldsberry did one of his like shooting charts, which
we met Goldsberry in Vegas, Middlecoff. Remember that?
Yeah.
Why anyway, the laugh? There must be a story that comes with it.
Nice, we'll get to the story nice later. But the point was, he was 50% from like that, like 15 to 8 foot range, 18 foot range for all of the 90s. And it's like, if a guy's hitting that at like Kevin Durant,
yeah,
Chris Paul level,
like, yeah.
he could have hit threes if it was more of an emphasis back then.
Not that this is part of the first two parts of the doc, but I do think it needs to be addressed. The one part I was looking at Michael's, going back and looking at Michael's numbers today. So Michael leaves the NBA, retires from the Bulls, and at that point in time, he's averaging, for his career, he averaged under 2 threes a game. But he took, you know, whatever, 23.
His entire career, he averaged 2 threes a game?
Under. It was like 1.9, right? But he's the NBA's all-time leading scorer in points per game.
Wow.
So he comes back 3 years off, and guess what he does? Takes less threes.
Wow.
Like, imagine if Mike had just worked on a three-pointer for 3 years while he was gone. And came back and took 4 threes a game because he was still taking 22 shots the year he came back.
Because he didn't miss twos. He got to the line all the time.
Yeah, he got the line a ton.
And the scores in the game were like 80 to 76. That was
LeBron's threes have gone up career highs the last 2 years.
Yep.
Well, that's the nature of it. I do feel like, I don't know.
Should we start complaining about today's NBA this early?
Maybe the documentary will get into it, but it's like that late 90s ball is some of the ugliest
Yeah, it's slow.
Ugliest basketball you ever see.
To me, it's a little football-y. It's just so physical.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. I think one thing the NBA lacks, and it had in the 80s and the cocaine era and definitely the 90s, and it's, to me, it resonates with people, is just fucking nut jobs. And to say what you want, like Draymond just – people. You love him or you hate him, but everyone's got an opinion on him.
It's the people going.
He gets your attention at
the
all
league,
times.
The league was Oakleys and Rodmans and just these dudes at any moment. And I guess you don't want people fighting, but, I mean, there's some of those dudes on the Celtics. I know they all look like just these stiff white guys, but they were crazy. Yeah. You know, it was just the league just had an edge to it and led by Mike.
I mean, obviously the Pistons.
Yeah. I mean, they just had some nut job. You just look around the league now. Again, I'm not trying to be negative Nancy in the league now, but you just, if it had like three or four more Draymonds, I do think it would help the league out. Like just having guys that are just a little crazy.
Well, yeah, that's just a thing from, if you go back to the 90s, like when we were kids, every team had an enforcer. And like, obviously Dennis Rodman's the most famous, but like, you remember the Pacers with like Antonio and Dale Davis. Charles Oakley was an enforcer. Like every good team had a star, an enforcer, maybe a third guy, something like that. There's some sort of resonation of that in some way or another. Whereas now it's just kind of like, how many shooters can you have around everyone?
That's
well, you get
that's
one
true,
David too. West. That's it. One David.
That is true too. The game, like you just won't play that guy now.
Yeah,
because they wouldn't be able to shoot, so they just can't get on the floor.
Kendrick Perkins gets his career ended and then goes on TV and starts just, I don't know, just fucking going nuts.
Does Perk even count as an enforcer? Because he didn't really play much. Like post Celtics, he was like 10 minutes a game. I don't know. I feel like to be an enforcer, you have to be on the floor at the end of every game.
Yeah. I mean, were the Davis brothers and the Oakley? Weren't those guys playing like 30 minutes a game?
Yeah, they were core pieces. They played whatever their era's version of like a Draymond role was. Like you knew they would always be on the floor when it mattered.
By the way, 30 plus minutes a game. MJ played 35 minutes in that preseason game in France or wherever the hell it was. I didn't know that, and I saw that, and I was just like, holy shit. So I grew up, Kobe was who was the guy. And I'm watching this, and I'm just like, yeah, okay, I can see where Kobe got it from. I can see, like, it's just the guy copied literally everything that MJ did. All the stories are the same. It just kind of, like, almost to a T.
It's like Kirby, almost like he had some of this footage, though.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It's just the movements, the kind of the
mid-range, even in the press conferences.
The voice, kind of the way he talks. And I'm just sitting there and I'm just like, oh, so this is a fucking better Kobe.
The trajectory of the jumper.
Everything is.
I did text Sam, I think, during, because I was like, I almost knew Andy would say that. Like, is Millet, like, God, this guy reminds me of Kobe.
But honestly, you watch this, you kind of, and he kind of grow. I wasn't a big Kobe guy, but he's grown on me.
Yeah.
That scene where he's like yelling at Harper and lighting up Tony, you're like, those were the scenes from like 10 years ago when they had the camera and Kobe was yelling like Swaggy P. And it was
smush.
Like, did he have the film? Like, how did he? That's exactly what he said. But you're like, God, I wish there were more guys like that in the league now. You know, it's sweet.
Yeah. I think those are the things where, like, it's, yeah, maybe you don't want your guy to be like that if you're at work or whatever. But yeah, if you're watching sports, that's the shit. Like, that's what people do in movies. And then you put that in real life. That's like either that or be Tim Duncan, right? Like one or the other. Either way, you're winning.
I think one big winner of this doc's going to be Phil. Like we forget because it lasted.
Yes.
Memory was the Knicks. Phil was a fucking badass. You know, I mean, you could just tell like the way you see the way Michael looks at him. You know,
well,
just
Michael
like,
said, I won't play for another coach. Like Phil, who went on to not to be smart. I mean, Phil wrote in a book, I can't coach Kobe. Michael said, I will not play for another coach. Michael retired because
I
it
feel
was
like
last year.
Episode 3 is going to be the Phil episode. Like episode 1 was giving you the Michael background. Episode 2 is a lot of Scotty. Episode 3 has got to be about Phil in some way. No?
Yeah. I know. They got a full Phil one coming on him for sure.
Yeah. John's right. What it became with the Knicks is a crime. It's like when Costas had pink eye at the Olympics, everyone started making fun of his eyes. Like you go start back and start watching some Jordan clips. Or you watch this thing. Costas is the dude. He's everywhere.
What about Costas' hair in this doc? WGN 1980.
No prompter. I mean,
is that just like him cutting his teeth, trying to make his way up? Just WGN? Like, is that?
I mean,
his first job?
Did you notice he cut his teeth for a year? Then he was like at NBC.
Yeah, that,
but it's no, I'm Bulls, with you on are, Phil.
People talk about the Bulls as an all-time great franchise. I mean, they had a Michael Jordan era, and that's it. They've sucked.
Right? No, actually, it's quite the opposite. They've like we're 20 years removed from Jordan, and I mean, have they had one relevant? Okay, they had Derrick Rose MVP year. That's it.
They had a good The Tibbs had some moments, but they weren't. I mean, that's like the only thing they have beside the 2000s was awful. Clearly, the pre-80s was awful. How about Jordan?
Like,
Jordan's taking a shot at the Cubs. It was pretty awesome. About rebuilding. He's like, they've been doing it for 45 years.
Yeah, that was great.
He stood. I mean, the whole thing starts with him also making fun of. He's just making fun of him the whole time. Just calls him short, and then the
your diet pills keep you short. It was ruthless.
My to God. Me, maybe that's why
a Michael. Double is a short and a fat joke. Yeah.
It kind of feels like that's where Michael. I don't think he's afraid of like yelling at teammates or whatever. It clearly going to get pretty bad with them talking to that guy.
Mm.
You know?
Do you think that's going to?
And he's dead. I'm not saying it's that bad, but it's just those are the things you're like, God, Michael's a fucking asshole to that little guy.
Woo. It's like LeBron and Dan Gilbert.
I'm still waiting for the scene, which quote unquote is what he's afraid of coming out. Cause I feel like in general, mocking Jerry Krause, who wanted to break up the team, is not that bad.
Can I have a hot take on Jerry Krause?
Yeah, go for it.
Not underrated. A terrible GM.
Oh, no, he's an excellent GM.
I mean, Scotty from NAIA hires Phil Jackson, Kukoc, Rodman, all these moves. Even Jordan, as the doc's ending today, he's like, yeah, Oakley's my dude, but shit, we had to do it.
Yeah.
It's like, God, I mean, this guy.
Sorry, did you say Kukoc?
Yeah, I think I did. Tony.
Harper, perfect fit.
Yeah, I mean, random guys like Steve Kerr as a role player. I mean, they hated him, though. Like, well, clearly hated him.
It gets forgotten that Phil Jackson was coaching in the CBA, and he was kind of viewed as, like, a hippie nut job. Like, he wasn't, like, he wasn't a serious NBA coaching candidate. He was coaching the Albany Patroons.
No, they had interviewed him. The Bulls had interviewed him a few years before to be an assistant.
Right.
And he showed up wearing just, like, some goofy stuff, like a Hawaiian shirt. And like,
was he a starter Panama on those Knicks teams, or was he like a backup role player?
He won two rings.
A little before my time.
Yeah, the first ring he was hurt for, that was the Willis year, and then he was healthy the next year. So I don't.
He compared himself as a player to what Luke Walton was for the Lakers. So take of that what you will.
Yeah, great.
Okay,
he was
the team photographer.
High IQ white guy.
Yeah, brought the weed to the parties.
A very good passer.
I guess Wilbon said, or somebody said that I guess there's some stuff where Jordan's yelling at Scotty Burrell when he's a rookie.
Right.
That's pretty mean. But I don't know.
Well, that wouldn't be on this documentary either.
MJ not doing the autograph. Nice.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of brush the little kid off.
How about that? But like not the kid, the guy
the
in
media
Paris.
Guy.
Mike's
I was a little like, ooh, they threw that in there. Okay.
But the stories in Barcelona were like all the players, you know, all the international media. To me, that honestly kind of feels like the normal media now would do shit like that.
Right. I mean, the Warriors, the international guys are always the worst. You've got guys taking selfies in the locker room. I remember when. All right, let's take a quick break. We got a marathon of a podcast. So Bet Online Madden Tournament. With currently no NBA, NHL, or MLB, you might think there's nothing to bet on. You'd be wrong. Our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on. From their online casino to poker and blackjack, they're bringing Vegas to you. Missing the NFL? No problem. You can bet on live daily Madden NFL 20 simulations today. You can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, even the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. All open 24 hours a day, all online. So use promo code BLUEWIRE. Join today and receive your new welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online wagering solution.
I got Guy, you had a pretty underrated tweet about hating management. And Haberman and me have been in the situation.
12 years.
I mean, 12 years to hate management. And clearly, Scotty probably, when do you think he started getting mad at Jerry Krause? Like 3 or 4 years into that contract, he realized, like, this is a joke. So, I mean, the anger
probably
the
when people start noticing and talking about it publicly, right? When like,
well, I mean, if you
story.
Look back at was it 94 when he refused to go back into the game? Like, is it just simply as not going back into the game, or is it like, again, I'm not comparing ourselves with Scottie Pippen. But when there's other shit going on in your life,
yeah,
it just fucking boils over at weird times. Like, I think there might have been more than just going back into the game. It's just like a fuck you to everybody.
I Kerr.
Or just Jerry Krause.
Well, I guess, but somebody said, who was it? I saw him say, like, today or yesterday, that, like, Phil knew he would not react well to it. But Kerr made, I heard Kerr was Simmons last year on the Book of Basketball podcast say,
right,
basically that he was like, first of all, that thing was over by the time we hit the locker room. Like, well, not by the time we hit the locker room. Phil comes in, goes, talks to the media, says, I'm going to try and cover for you as best I can. Bill Cartwright steps up and is like, guys, Scotty apologized that night and apologized the next day.
Oh, you're talking about the 94 when he refused to go back in the game and Scott and Tony Kukoc hit the game. Yeah.
But John's right. Like, if he's the highest paid player on, if he's the fifth highest paid player in the league, maybe he's just more at ease with the fact that, you know, he doesn't have to prove to everybody that he's the guy because he's getting paid like the guy.
Is Scotty demanding a trade around Thanksgiving of they're going for a three-peat crazier than anything that happened over the Warriors 5-year run? I mean, that's
absolutely
nuts. Actually, that's got to be one of the crazier moments in like NBA history, right?
Can we discuss this? So like we're all 35, except for Andy.
35.
I don't remember that. I do not remember him demanding a trade at Thanksgiving.
Had no clue that was coming. I was kind of shocked.
No, like I read about him yelling about trades after the fact when you read like all this Bulls stuff. But like as a kid, I just remember like Bulls, unbeatable dynasty. And, you know, you didn't think anything of that.
So
maybe that's more of a media landscape thing or an age thing.
Well, that's my question is like, do you think if that unfolded today and you were 11 years old, you'd be fully aware of all those storylines?
Yeah.
Absolutely, because I'd be following Bleacher Report and House of Hoops and whatever on like TikTok.
You'd care more about that, actually.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's probably not a good thing. But to the bigger point, that brings me to my question.
Be the biggest story in America.
Does this team even get to going for it their sixth time?
No
or
chance.
Like, is there a team like maybe the Spurs or like the, you know, the Patriots in football who have like the brass to quote unquote say you're going to play out your contract and we'll deal with you walking at the end of the year?
To me, Phil, the thing the Patriots never had to fuck with, Bill Belichick didn't answer to anybody. Like he didn't have a GM.
Okay.
So it was just like his animosity was with his players.
There's no power struggle.
Yeah, there is no power struggle.
He like, was Krause and Phil in one.
To me, Krause and Phil never would have made it to 98 in 2020. You agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, like, I see what you're saying.
To me, that story would have got so big. Think of like...
Well, and even if you think about it, with the Phil with the Lakers, he got into it with Jerry West in the same way, and he won. Jerry West stepped away.
Yeah.
So it was already...
Was he dating Jeannie at that point?
I don't know if he was publicly, but he was shortly
Phil
after.
Phil smarter than you think, you know? Remember the... I mean, this is a much lower level, but Tibbs and Paxson got into it, right? And he was just gone. Yeah. You know, just it would not go on. There's just too many articles, too many podcasts. It just never.
That's
never
99% of teams. If your coach and your GM get into it,
well, I don't.
Kerr Myers. Someone's gonna win because
have you guys read?
Like,
have any guys
like
read
a 5-year type of?
Have any of you guys battle. Started Ethan's book yet?
Yeah,
he's got a chapter on Bob and just like how he's talking about like GMs and how most GMs just have a thing. You know, like Maury's got a thing, you know, Billy Beane had a thing, like most right. guys, you just, and he goes through like 5 or 6, Masai Ujiri has a thing, like just guys, obviously Hinkie had a thing. He's like, no one really knows like Bob, what's Bob's thing? Bob's thing is like the ability to genuinely massage everybody on every level of the organization. And that's not really like a thing that is particularly valued, or at least, I mean, it's valued with Bob,
sure,
but it's not the thing that you put on. How do you put that on a resume? There's not a catchy. No one calls like, it.
You call that crying at a press conference? What you call that?
It's just that all in on everything.
Work. Didn't work though.
Yeah, well, no, it didn't. That is.
You didn't get a
see,
free
I'm
book.
Not sure
you didn't get a free work. Book, did you? You buy that?
Yeah, I bought it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll buy it. I was thinking about. I don't know.
Checked at the library first. Wasn't available yet.
Oh, that's great.
Nice Traeger, Ethan. You're welcome.
I can't imagine Bob Myers having to deal with Lakob and then having to deal with Draymond and then having to deal with KD all in the same.
Yeah, but that's the thing. He's like, and it's families and it just
it's,
like
it's more valuable than it gets credit for.
Yeah,
but you're right. It's not like when you think of a GM, you're like, oh, he's a numbers guy or he's like a talent scout or he's like a great contract guy. You don't think like, no, he. Like
he has high emotional IQ. That's yeah, it. He has great EQ. That is on Bob Myers' resume. You throw the 18-19 Warriors back in the time machine to when the Bulls play, that team probably doesn't break up. KD probably doesn't leave, but maybe KD doesn't leave OKC.
Well, in the 90s, yeah, I don't think he leaves
OKC.
So who knows? Right. Yeah. But it's just a lot different. It feels like they wouldn't. Like if it had stayed the way it was with the Warriors and KD, he probably doesn't leave back.
I think because Michael is just, we've all talked about Michael so much and like every aspect of Michael's been so covered. Like at one point, John, you texted me this or maybe you tweeted it, but like Steve Kerr's basketball life is crazy, right? Like Steve Kerr does deserve just a basketball life or whatever we call that, right?
He's seen some.
But because we've talked about all this stuff, like they just, I'm sure Michael's time in Birmingham will get some run, but Michael, the best player in the world, left to play minor league baseball. Like you don't do that if you're Tebow until you've expired like every other option. And then it's just insane. And then he came back and won 3 more championships. And so like we're talking about, would this team stick together? Like that's one of the 50 storylines with this team. And it's just nuts.
I do think that's my one. Okay, so we've seen what, 1/5 of this thing? Is that right?
Yeah.
They're not going to delve into. They're not going to delve into the psychology of MJ on a level that
I want to get into, because I'm just curious,
like what truly made him tick to want to leave and to kind of stick it out with all these things, and we're not going to get that from this documentary. We're going to get some great stuff in terms of what the Bulls had to go through, but we're not gonna kind of figure out why he stepped away the first time or even the second time. I mean, even when he was still the best player when he retired in 98, he had no reason to retire other than he wanted to.
Yeah, I wonder though, like when you watch, I mean, it's crazy now, but if it's relatively speaking to what it was in 98, his life. Like just every, it had to just, for a guy with unlimited energy, it had to be exhausting to live like that, just to be followed every day. And what team wasn't there a lockout in 99?
Yeah. The lockout immediately followed this season. And then we got the 50 game season, which Spurs, was, yeah, Spurs won the title that year. But
like, if he did leave, unlike LeBron, that like when he went from Cleveland to LA, it's not like Mike would have needed a market size. Like he's not going to go to the Knicks.
Right.
He makes so much money. Kind of a weird situation. I wonder if he needed a breather and then it was too late. And then he already realized, like, I want to come back in. And that's like, you're right. Yeah. It's not really going to come up the way this plays out. I keep going back and forth. Like the best footage they have, clearly, I mean, they just have footage of the year. And I get you got to go back and set the, how Dennis
this,
grew
this
up
was all
Phil.
Setting this was all set in the table, these two episodes.
Yeah, to me, I need a lot of footage from, I like footage from practice, from game, from the locker
golf
room.
Course.
Yeah, golf course. Flipping people off. I need raw behind. I want him walking into the cocaine room as much
yep,
as
that's
you got.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly yep. What I need.
I just need like I can't get enough practice footage or Phil coaching. The other thing you see that again is so much different today, like Michael, they're at practice. The 98 Bulls are running a practice, probably because Michael demanded it. Like they were like, we got to fucking practice. Like that would never, LeBron doesn't, they don't, teams so, don't, I mean, the Warriors, no, really, no one practices.
No, they don't.
Yeah,
no.
See, that's the thing. Like to Sam's question, like 15, he played 15 years. Like 15 years from 84 to 03 is not, I mean, obviously you take 3 years out.
Sure.
Is not the same as 15 years today because of what John's talking about, because of how much practice you put in. I just think
no minutes restrictions besides that.
No minute. He's playing the last 3 years in the league. He played 82 games. His first year in the league, he played 82. He gets hurt the second year, plays 82 the third year, plays 82 the fourth year. Didn't win a championship till year 7. Like he came in, took the lead by storm, was an immediate superstar. But it still took a few years for them to really get him the kind of help that helped them win a bunch of games. And he's playing his ass off on both ends. How many all defense teams? Like 9? Mm-hmm.
at least.
He's 82.
Defensive player of the year in 88.
He's playing 81 or 82 games every year. He's playing in the Olympics. He goes straight from college to the Olympics to the NBA and plays 82 games his first year. I love that. That was one of, like, Bob Knight's like, this is the best player I've ever seen.
That was in 1984 too. He said that, right? That was when he was
rookie. I do think there's this element, like, we were, the three of us were born in 85, right? Or you guys were born in 84?
84.
John and Sam?
Correct.
Yeah. Don't date me.
Sorry. So, but you don't, like, I didn't quite comprehend how fast Michael became one of the best players in the NBA. You know what I mean? Like, I can pull up his basketball reference and see that he averaged 28 as a rookie. Like, damn, that's sure. Good. But I didn't quite realize he gets drafted third. The Olympics happen. After the Olympics happen, he's like immediately one of the biggest stars in all of basketball.
I didn't realize his peers recognized him as the best player.
I didn't realize how fast it was. Like, damn, this is one of the greatest ever. Like,
Larry Bird. That wasn't Michael Jordan. That was God disguised as Michael Jordan. Another one where just sitting there, and it's like, the fact that the guy gets other people who he played against to say shit like that about him, it's like, does anybody get that nowadays?
No. To me, what else, like, Isaiah, what I always find funny is, like, when Isaiah Thomas talks, clearly they hate each other or it's a weird relationship. But Isaiah always speaks so glowingly about Michael. Like, it been like 1986.
He's that's power.
Yeah, he's like, this guy was flying like a bird. You're like, I thought you guys hated each other. That relationship's always fascinating to me. It feels more like Isaiah has a weird respect with him, where Michael just hates him, because Michael never really talks about him. It's always Isaiah talking about him.
It sounds like Isaiah realizes MJ won and he has to, quote unquote, like, kiss the ring if he wants to be accepted in that, like, society, in that group.
Wasn't there a famous story that, like, Bobby Knight was on the phone with the Trailblazers GM? They're like, listen, we need a center. He's like, play Michael Jordan at center. I don't know what else to tell you. Like, I don't care. Just play him at center. Like, that's Bobby Knight, who's like the curmudgeon of all curmudgeons, who's right. Just giving this guy a BJ on the, like, he never talks like that. That was like the peak of Bobby Knight too. He tried to tell everybody. Did he cut Charles Barkley from that team because he's too fat?
He did.
But a bunch of guys got cut from that team. Like,
it was not easy to make.
Stars got cut from that team.
By the way, it was Stockton, Mullen, and Michael were like the stars, I think.
The year MJ won defensive player of the year, Porter. He averaged 35 points a game.
I mean, so I think, like, his knees get – I do think he physically
– when they could kill you.
Right? Yes.
Like, we'll see it when they get up to this season. Like, he says – he gives them an ultimatum. If Phil's not the coach, I'm out. Like, he was so mentally worn, I think, by the time they got to this year. And then physically – I don't know if we'll get to see, but, you know, his knees were shot by the end of his career.
I do think as a whole, and again, these are highlights and stuff. It's not like I can pretend to remember watching 80s basketball, but there's an element of the NBA when Michael came in that, again, by the time, like, the late 80s, early 90s, even Scottie Pippen, like, signed an $18 million deal in 91. He's top 1.1% of America. Like, he's really, really rich. But there was just a huge point of pride in the league about, like, earning your stripes and proving it every year and people coming at you. And it was just like, you talk to any old NBA guy that played in the 80s or 90s, like, it was like a point of pride. It was like they looked at it like you could get cut or you would just get fucking disregarded.
Well, like the NFL.
It was like very much like the NFL, the way they approached it. And, like, when they – every game – you never knew who was watching you. You always had to bring it. Where that's what's, again, I'm not trying to shit on today's NBA, but it's just a lot different now. And the money's changed.
Well, Devin Booker's getting $100 million. He hasn't done shit.
$170 million.
Right. The guy got and I think that's part of it where it's like, I think me and Sam do say, like, it sucks that ex-NBA players don't really like today's game. They don't like it. But then you kind of look back on this and maybe you kind of get where they're coming from. And you see guys like Karl-Anthony Towns, Devin Booker, guys who don't win.
Trae
don't
Young.
Seem like they work hard, well, honestly.
I'll give you one. And I like this guy, but I think De'Aaron Fox, I don't know, whatever the max. Yeah. Like, he's going to get a huge contract this offseason.
For no reason. Honestly, for no reason. Like for no reason. That's a lot of money for someone who.
Scottie's kicking – and him and Michael kicking people's ass. He signs an $18 million deal, and it's lowballed. And he had to do it. Like, you kind of
– And that's where the incentive structure's off, because De'Aaron Fox has more incentive to protect his body and put up numbers so he can get that $150 million,
which is great,
dollars is a lot of money.
Right.
Then do anything in terms of like, you know, quote unquote, sacrificing and winning for the team yet. Like he's like, I'll worry about that on my next deal or the one after that when I'm ready to win. I'm trying to
get which of course right you now. Don't. Then you're worried about yeah. the next deal.
No. Well, that's the other thing you see that entire generation of guys that were great players in the 80s and even the 90s. And this is where I think the Warriors really benefit is when you go to college, like it's all about winning. And it's like numbers don't really matter in college, especially back in the day, but they still don't really. And you just right. learn to play as a right. team.
You only play if you try to out things.
Yeah. You only
the coach
play
doesn't if you put you in.
It's just about who has more points at the end of the game. And it's just part of the flow of the game, whoever scores the most or whatever. And that's just yeah. the way they're taught. And that's if you look at the Warriors, like I feel pretty confident that if they don't fuck up this offseason, the next cut, like they're going to win another championship. Their guys are just too, again, at health or whatever. But their three core guys, just they give a fuck. I mean,
and not one is a blue chip.
They're going to be in a position to compete for titles for at least a few more years. Yeah.
Like there are some parallels to the way they think about it, like these guys. Again, it's like, can Bob go Jerry Krause now? Can he make a couple moves? You know, can he find, you know, the next Tony or just whatever? Like,
there's
he's
the potential
have to do
that the guy they draft,
Andrew Wiggins, man.
Michael would have eaten that guy alive.
Making a lot of money to be the.
Draymond's going to find.
Oh, my God.
Actually, Wiggins is the perfect example of what we're saying. Like, seems nice enough. Like, no one's ever said, like, he's a bad guy or anything, but it's just like. Fucking he's kind of just fallen upward into $150 million. Like, yeah, literally.
But
doesn't
Barnes.
Have to. Do anything.
Harrison Barnes is a great example, right? At the right price, he was almost irreplaceable for the Warriors.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And at the wrong price, it's like, there's no way we can do that.
Since Harrison's left, has he signed two contracts worth $170 million?
But whoever the Warriors draft, wherever they draft, it's the potential to be one of the luckiest lottery picks for that individual player in the history of lottery picks.
Yeah. By the way, you know how much the first pick makes?
$7 million.
That's close.
12. Yeah. Guaranteed 445. Because no one's cutting the first pick after one bad year. So literally.
Was that Zion's contract, give or take, this year?
Yeah. Like maybe 5%
what was
less.
His Nike deal?
He's, yeah. Well, no, he's Jordan. Wait, is he Jordan?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Nike at the core. But yes, he's between his four-year rookie deal and the Jordan deal, he's already got $100 million in the bank.
So is your point, like, the guy's already making decent money, right off the bat, right? If you're Wiseman or whoever gets drafted number one is making $12 million year one. Like, we'd all take three. But, again, you $3 million, you're still trying to get to that 10 or 15 or 20. You making 12 at 19, whoever you're getting drafted number one is 19, right?
I'm just saying when Jordan got drafted, I think he got, like, $800K, which is a ton of money in 84.
I think he made I thought they said 500.
Okay, 500. Point. Sorry, I said it wrong.
G League money. Yeah. Elite.
Jalen Green money. Yeah.
My point is $12 million for the first pick. If you flame out, you've made more than enough money to invest it and never have to work for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
$500K for the first round. I mean, you can live like, you know, live like a boss in your 20s, but you can run out of that money really quick.
Guy and I talked about this last week. I think sometimes we too, and I know we've all talked about this, just flippantly throw out like, you know, you got to work to get that next contract. Like,
right.
Bro, your career could end tomorrow if you've signed a four-year, $45 million deal. The most successful, like, mid-business if he ever signed a $45 million, sold his
right.
I mean, it's like, guy hit the fucking lottery.
Scotty's logic, right? Like when Scotty explained the logic for signing a 7-year, $18 million contract.
It makes total sense.
He had two family members in wheelchairs. They had no money.
I mean, exactly. You're like, you know what? Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, 2.5 a year just coming in. I can. It's very easy to take care of everyone and not have to think about anything.
Did you see Scotty was the manager? You see J.A. Adonde's tweet about Scotty's agent? Who it was?
Who was it? I didn't see that.
Pelinka?
It was Jimmy Sexton.
No shit.
Was Scottie Pippen, Nick Saban, another big football agent.
Really?
Was Scottie Pippen's agent. And you know, from the South, maybe that was just his connect. I don't really.
How did they get connected?
I don't know. I mean, I just wonder, like, South.
He's the most powerful, like, college coaching agent.
By a mile.
Scott Boras.
You could argue Scottie Pippen's NBA's career manager in college.
It's crazy.
And then his highlights.
But John, not any college. He was the manager at Duke.
His highlights look like you would see of like a dude that's going to Duke or Kentucky in high school. Like, that's what it looked like. And just throwing dunks down. I also love a good NBA story. It only happens in the NBA where great. Dude's like, you know, this one is Mike. It happened to Michael too. You know, he's like 5'11", and then fuck, he comes back 6 months later and he's 6'6". You're like, I don't know any humans that's ever happened to past. It happened to Paul George. Remember, like, Paul got to Fresno State. He was like 6'4", then he got to 6'7". And then by the time his NBA, now he's like 6'10". It's like, yeah. How do you guys keep
I'm kind of calling BS on that. It's just like, oh, I just arrived at college 6'1", and then grew 6 inches as a 20-year-old.
I love too. He's tight enough with Scotty that he's in the dock, but he's like, one day I saw him, he was 6'4", and the next time I saw him, he was 6'7". It's like, well, you hanging out with him or not? I spent a summer hoping that would happen to me. But
so did the Bulls. What year was Pippen drafted? 87?
87.
So they had made the playoffs. Somehow they got from like the 20s up to 5. I wanted more.
It was a draft day trade.
So I wanted more on the trade compensation. Like, how do they get that far up to get the guy?
They traded some BS veterans to move up. And that's actually that's how the Lakers got Worthy, because they obviously weren't getting the number one pick winning the title
in 1982.
Yeah.
How did these great teams back in the day just, oh, it's like Celtics and Lakers for like 7 straight years have the number top
it's
five
even,
picks.
It's even more corrupt than it is in today's league. It's amazing.
They just weren't like, I mean, I just can't imagine a team today picking number two overall and they're like, I really need, like a 33-year-old Andrew Bogut
to establish the culture. They hate rookies. Everyone hated rookies.
It had been like last year if like, yeah, the Warriors had the number one overall pick and they're getting Zion. That shit used to happen in the NBA like in the 80s, like clockwork. I mean, every year.
The Pelicans are sitting there going, we really need Andre Iguodala's veteran leadership in here with
Yeah, they end up with like Iguodala and like Culver that picks 7. You know, it's like, what? How did this happen? And Dave Stern just smiling Coleman in the back. I need more David Stern.
Yeah, we need David Stern.
David Stern.
Yeah.
I'm always curious as to what David Stern, how he would have treated the NBA today with the minutes restrictions. It would have been fun to see the way that he would have dealt with some of what the franchises had done.
Yeah, to me, I think the league is just completely.
He'd have hated it.
Yeah, he did hate it. It jumped the shark. Now, I mean, it's one thing to take a couple games off. Listen, you can't hold anyone to 82 games, but once you're in like the 60 range and you're healthy, it's like, what are we doing here? You know,
and then constantly too much going behind the curtain. Like, I'm sure Michael Jordan got annoyed with fans and all that sort of stuff, but he never let anyone see it. That's the bigger thing.
Selling
right?
shoes, man.
Well, think about this. I grew up 20 minutes away from Arco Arena. When those 3 years, 96, 97, 98, you just knew when the calendar came out. When he came to fucking Arco Arena, the Kings were god awful. The Warriors probably equally as shitty. He was playing those two games.
Was that the Tyus Edney era?
Yeah, it was like a little old Mitch.
Richmond.
They had a little Spud Webb, OP, Olden Polonies. And it was just like Mike's going to be there. I remember going in high school to see Allen Iverson like in 97 or 98 when he just – those type guys now on whoever the equivalent of like – probably still the Kings. Whoever that team is, you're just taking that game off. And it was just like, that's a big reason. Then you got like, damn, I saw Michael Jordan and the kid in Sac and the kid in Texas and the kid in Seattle. And now it's like, well, I wanted to see fucking Kawhi or LeBron, but you know, he was drinking wine and taking the game off.
Yeah, that's a whole thing.
Like, and Adam Silver's like texting, it's all you, LeBron, do whatever you want.
Who had that quote early in the first episode? They're like, when you saw Mike, you didn't get 12 points a game. Like, if you came to see Mike, I don't know if it was.
No, I wrote
that. I think it was Adonde.
Yeah, whoever it was, he's like, you got 28, and you did.
Well, that was him. That was them saying he was playing every game, and he was playing hard every game. They're like, yeah, because people are watching, and you're like, oh, well.
Yeah. Like that when it starts with that trip to Paris, which was, that whole thing was organized by McDonald's. Like, they went to Paris because Michael had an endorsement deal with McDonald's. Like, it was a McDonald's. I didn't even realize it was a tournament. Because they were joking about how they won the championship. Who was the rookie?
Oh, that was the best part. It's like, this doesn't count.
I didn't quite understand what was going on. See, I was confused. It's like,
they played like a bunch of teams in Paris as in like a tournament. Well, of course, they won the tournament. And so they get a trophy.
They do this. They still do this. They call it the club championship.
I had no idea.
So the championship of every league plays in the tournament. Cool. And it's like, and you know, it's cool for soccer where they're a little more even, but it's like the NBA championships just a little more talented.
How hard do you think MJ tried in that tourney? The guy just went all out, just balls to the wall. Walking, drunk as shit.
I don't even think he needed to.
But he would have.
He was
definitely getting wasted.
David Halberstam book about Jordan. And on that trip, I guess it went up against the Marlins Indians World Series, like that tournament. And baseball's ratings were not, like, baseball was not doing great in that year, 97. And Ebersol, who's the head of NBC, had to decide between going to the World Series and going to Paris. And Ebersol and Stern are tight. And Ebersol ultimately decides to stay and go to whatever game one must have been in Miami, right? Because that's where game seven was. And
is that Manny versus what's it?
Young Manny and Tommy. Yeah. Edgar Renteria, the hero. And Craig Counsell scores. But Stern tells Ebersol, you want to come to Paris or go to the lowest or be at the lowest rated World Series ever? Like, so Stern had as much swag as MJ. Like, he was talking shit to the head of NBC, his buddy, about how bad baseball was at the time. The NBA just, I mean, I don't remember. I guess I do remember watching Super Bowls in those years, the Bills and earlier the Redskins and then the Niners. And
I always wonder how much of that is. It's kind of like the hangover period from like the Niners being great to like
NFL was actually struggling kind of in the early 90s, just big picture. Like, teams were moving. They were not making anywhere near the money. I'd argue the NBA and baseball were bigger than the NFL, and then baseball went on strike, so that fucked them. And Jordan left, but once he came back, it was on like Donkey Kong for like 96, 97, and 98. They were, to me, bigger than Favre. I guess the Yankees kind of came around at the end of the 90s, but I'd still say.
Yeah, but that would have been like the Braves, the Twins.
Yeah, to me, Michael dwarfed
everything. Most of my sports watching was the NBA in those days. I mean, I watched everything, but my memories are the NBA.
Same with me.
Three-peat's insane. You see the Warriors break down at the end of the first three-peat. I mean, I guess it's they already won three, but.
When they got KD, you kind of thought like it's just predisposed they're going to win for a tournament.
I mean, they damn near, I mean, the guy stays in healthy, right? They would have won the third one.
Which shows you they could have cruised to three without injuries, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't really a fair fight. You know? I know me and Guy, like, I love the NBA, and I liked watching that team. I like gambling on their overs. I didn't want him to come here just because I knew. Now, it was cool when he was here.
Right.
And it was, I mean, he was incredible, but it was, I do understand where people outside of this area are like, fuck, I mean, this shit's boring as shit. You could argue at least this year there was a little intrigue, you know. Clippers Lakers was going to be fun. Who knows the East?
Were the Warriors going to be like the 30-win Bulls that made the playoffs? The 30-win Bulls.
Yeah, I saw the 30, and wow, that is worse than the East that LeBron played 52? In the last 10 years.
If like Steph had come back and Clay had come back, but miserable.
There were some bad teams back then too.
The league benefited so much.
I think they only had 24 teams right then.
Yeah,
16 out of 24 making it.
Yeah, because they finished like eighth out of 11 in the East, right?
Yeah.
So maybe they only had 22. Is that possible?
So it literally just,
or was it out of 12?
Just keep trying, and you'll eventually make it.
But I do think, you know, we talk so much about like how fans feel about social media and politics and all. I think so much of it is just you don't have the storylines change every year. And Michael made it so easy. You just see like they go from no fans to sellouts. You couldn't afford the $7 Upper Deck ticket. I love seeing old ticket prices.
You know
what a slice of pizza costs in the marina.
One thing.
But like they so quickly, just the average person became a basketball fan and a Bulls fan. Like, that's what Steph did. I don't know if anybody did it to the, like, in the way that Michael did it until Steph. We're just people who didn't give two shits about basketball. We're watching basketball.
Yeah. Well, I also think there's a small percentage, like, Harden doesn't move the needle with most people. You know, in a league, there really is only going to be at most three, and sometimes like one, sometimes two. And the Warriors had two of the three of them, and then LeBron. Like, people, like the NBA media loves acting like Russell Westbrook, he ain't doing something for most people. Again, he's entertaining, and if he's on, people might pay attention. But
he's not carrying the league.
No, can't, not even close. And I think they got to pray to God, Zion. Like, one thing I, you know, Michael was always big on like wearing suits and stuff. And and I don't in 2020, like the dress. The one thing though, just the way he carries himself, there was just like, you know, the guy acts pretty professional. And I think there is an element to that.
Well, it goes back to
the Warriors
point
for sure. That where Steph and Clay have that.
It goes back to the basic point where if you were watching the Bulls, you knew you were going to get, or you felt you were going to get Michael Jordan's A effort. So you had the interest to watch him, I don't know, like March 3rd against
Sacramento Kings, because you knew you were going to get the peak Jordan effort. With the NBA
now, I don't know, like outside of when the Warriors were chasing 73, do you really feel that way with like any player? Any
I don't game? Feel like that with them the last couple of years. It was kind of
yeah, slower. I mean, yeah, it's pretty much they
chased it that one year, they lost.
And then they started to become the, you know, like everyone else who's like, we're going to pace ourselves, which is smart, but it's also terrible for the consumer.
Yeah, that's yeah. It's all like that. It's like, it's great that De'Aaron Fox gets $100+ million, but then it's also like, well,
for De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, it's great for him. And it's like, yeah, I mean, it's part of like, yeah, we're supposed to be happy for the guy, but I mean, shit, none of this is actually entertaining for the viewers that are watching the game. Like you just said, like, I don't know, but I could survive on 40. It's fine.
I think Kawhi is a big reason. Like, he's an all-time great talent, right? I mean, in a big game, he's as good as anybody.
Sure.
But when you're playing like 62 games and then, you know, they I'm telling you he's injured, and then you flip on the TV 2 days later and he scores 35, you're like, this guy's fucking fine. What are we doing here?
Well, it's also the way that it's he gets no blowback for any of it. Any of it, right? There's just zero. Like
to me, that's back to like, I don't think he's big enough, really, you know, for being an all-time great player. Like, I don't even think people care. And no. Part of it's his own personality. He's never going to say anything. Someone texted me tonight and they had a good point. They're like, the irony of Jerry Krause getting a bunch of shit, and any GM would, for blowing up a great team. Players do it all the time. LeBron's done it, left great, you know, the Heat. They would have been good if he would have stayed. Kevin just did it. They were going to give him $250 million. Ooh, he could have stayed
on a torn Achilles.
Kawhi yeah. just left a fucking championship team that is clearly still loaded. They would have been fuck, they probably won it this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens all the time with players, you know, so it's just like, or just they're willing and no one, oh, he's just leaving. He just wants to go play, you know, in Dallas or wherever.
In Jerry Krause's defense, John, he did it for Coach Floyd, who won like 42 games in 3 years.
Did Michael and Scotty go to the stepdaughter's wedding? Like, did they show up? Because Reinsdorf was like, yeah. I was, you know, probably not in great taste not inviting Phil. Well, did like, was Steve Kerr there? Like, we're just like,
how about Reinsdorf? Like, I wish people wouldn't invite. Sounds like a great day.
Was he kind of saying like, I didn't want to go to that wedding and I kind of felt obligated to go? But did Michael and Scotty go to that wedding, or did they just get invitations?
No way.
And Phil,
there's no way they went.
But I think times were different. They might have just again, like there is, it was a little more corporate back then. You just kind of like, that was your boss. They were so powerful, you could talk shit, but you still worked for the guy, kind of. Jerry was always hovering. Did you know? Have you noticed that in the doc? Like, you just like, there's Jerry Krause
hovering and getting roasted. Just hey, don't let Jerry get that. Steve Kerr also sounds exactly like he sounds today.
Looks the same too. Just
a little has old. Not aged at all.
The guy is just the same dude. Kind of the same dry humor. It's kind of just seen a lot of shit. Just seen a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there's an irony to what was it? Bob Myers is known as like the Forrest Gump of basketball, but it's kind of applies for Steve Kerr too. Just kind of
to me, Steve's in that building. Like Bob's been the agent for whoever, and now Steph and Clay, they've won some championships, and they've been around the NBA. I mean, this guy's at a front row fucking seat for that. Then he was around Duncan. Then you know, I mean, he runs a team, now he's coached this team.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, oh, remember when this? Was that his first year in OKC when Draymond yelled at him, or second year?
Second year, because
Luke had been coaching. Yeah. So and they yell.
Draymond was hitting threes. Remember hitting shots.
Yeah. And Steve, I mean, you understand like Steve ain't scared. Like you don't survive around Michael. And I think sometimes you know Steve a little soft. He kind of feels that way. Like Steve is kind of fucking crazy deep down. He's got a little element.
Well,
to
he
him
carries just the I'm not doing any of this because I need it kind of vibe, which is also his kind of. He's got nothing to lose at it vibe, right?
So when, he, which is important.
One of the better moments, I guess, is directly correlated to MJ. Is he calls out KD in that series against Houston that they're losing, 20 17-18
after game
Do
one.
Do I have that right, Sam? Yeah. And he calls him out for saying, you got to trust your teammates. Now, they took that fucking video down immediately, but that was great.
Wait, was that the same? Am I thinking of something different when he basically said, you got to take, like, I don't care if he takes 40 or 50 shots. And KD's like, I just play within the offense.
That might have been.
That, was that?
That one might have been after.
So when we're saying you have to trust your teammates.
You got to trust your teammates.
Comparing him to MJ.
Yeah. Yeah. And
he immediately took it down.
Yeah. Shocking. KD, I'm unhappy about that one.
You know what's funny? 2017, it's all passive aggressive. It's all like they're still like friends when they're looking at each other, right. But doing this shit. Back then, Michaels is like, you little fat fuck, get away from me. And they're just
yes, let's talk about that. Yeah, that is the best part of MJ where he
you just talk. You know, it's like you had an issue. There's you just no say Twitter. Scotty, Jerry Krause. I mean, Jerry wasn't scared of him. Jerry was always around him, right? It's not like Jerry was avoiding them.
There's no fit in, fit out bullshit. It's just look,
you're trying to win it.
Stuck and
can that style of leadership and just general demeanor even happen in 2020?
Can it?
At least Draymond. In the NBA.
Well, there's
but Draymond's not a star.
Yeah,
Draymond's from, not. Well, he is a star. No, he's Draymond's not like MJ.
We're not doing this now. It's too late for this.
I'm talking about someone of the caliber of LeBron, Harden, Steph, KD, like someone like that. Can they even take that demonstrative tone?
But I mean, wouldn't that be better than treating everybody like they're your guy and then trying to get half the team traded behind their back? And then the
it's definitely better than passive aggressively trying to trade half your roster.
I do think there's like a fundamental, there are the players who can be coached that way exist. Maybe not as many of them, but I think they exist. Maybe they're not all as mentally tough as Draymond, but I think those guys still exist.
I'll say one thing for Draymond. I agree with you, Sam. He's not necessarily like a star, like the league-wide, the way if you just put him on. But I do think in his locker room, he's on the pedestal where he's on their level, and he can say whatever the fuck he wants. And he's the only guy that will, probably consistently. I mean, Clay maybe as he gets older probably will a little more. That's not really Steph's style. Like, he can just let it rip. Like, he was the guy. Like, Steph and Clay weren't going to say that.
I'm saying Draymond can say that to Eric Paschal, who looks like a nice player.
But he said it to Kevin last year when he called him a little bitch or whatever.
I know, how did the perception go there?
Well, yeah, he got crushed. He got suspended. But I thought I
had to apologize.
He
was right.
I know. That's why I've always got to support him.
Right.
I thought them suspending him was kind of nuts. It's like, God, he's just standing up for the organization here.
They were trying to keep.
Had nothing to do with him.
Yeah,
but he's already admitted. Like, he was already gone. So it was stupid. We all knew it on the outside.
Everybody knew. That was going to be, we'll see. Nobody's like that anymore. I mean, look at the next guys, Zion and Doncic. You doubt either guy is going to be just, they're not going to be.
We're not giving Russell Westbrook credit for being that guy.
I don't think he yells at his teammates.
You guys a pro Russell Westbrook podcast or?
No.
Like, I've come around on him, actually. I'm pro Russell Westbrook these days.
That's what happens when you get old, man. You just come around.
It turns out like that Michael's issue. Michael played golf with Danny Ainge before game two of their playoff series.
Can I red flag something? I saw about 50 people in the media immediately. I never want to hear about 2020 buddy buddy. It's like, guys.
Yeah, so this is my point, John.
We've heard all the stories. Michael did this on purpose to fuck with you.
Well, one didn't sound like he fucked with Danny.
Well, he didn't need to. He was Danny was like, whatever. He's a fucking
but the
role
point
player.
Is like the
he
next
ain't
day
Larry
he didn't.
Out.
He didn't. Yeah, he didn't go soft on Danny in the game.
Yeah,
didn't he buy? Did I see somebody tweet tonight that he bought Barkley a $20,000 earring before Game 6 of the '93 Finals or something?
And then called him a fat fuck.
Fat fuck. Yeah.
But I'd say the one difference, like if that's true or not, like him and Charles had a long standing relationship and known each other for a while. And Charles would have been the first to tell you, like, this guy would shoot me in the head on the basketball court. So it's like, I think the buddy buddy thing for the media trying to defend it, it's like, well, then we watch it and no one's playing hard. Again, no one would care if you
it gets it gets back to what your point is, which is they're not playing hard.
They're not orchestrating free agency.
No one in the Boston Garden were like, God, you know, we just didn't get our money's worth tonight watching this game. You know, it's like, Jesus Christ. No one cares what they do as long as, like, when they're playing. I think the knock on these guys now, it's like, yeah, they're really close. And then they don't play that. Or that's one thing in football. Like, I think these guys are really close in football, just like the NBA. Because you're now with these camps, you're around. But the nature of the sport of football, it's like, well, you can't like half-ass it across the middle, you know?
Yeah, but you know what it is too? I think part of it is like, it goes back to what Adam Silver said at the Sloan conference about like all the players being unhappy, is I think it feels to some like it's the players against the players as a league, against, like them and the fans are not on the same side. Whereas like Michael could play with Danny or whatever, but when it came to game time, like Michael was, the Bulls fans had Michael and the Celtics fans had Danny. And I think,
well, they still felt aligned to their team.
Exactly.
Is what it came
and now
down
it
to.
Feels like it's the players, whatever individual team rivalries they have is smaller than whatever, than them versus the media or them versus the fans or whatever.
Or management.
Whatever it is. But like they're in it together, which, you know, most player groups are in it together, but you still got to be able to make everybody feel like you're battling.
Well, it's like their primary team is the players union, as opposed to whatever team they're playing for. And that's kind of the disconnect there, where it's, you know, you don't see like Jordan is golfing with whoever and he hates Jerry Krause. But when the game starts, all he cares about is the Bulls winning that night. You don't feel that same level of commitment from whatever player you want to pick today.
That's where
in most cases,
if Durant had never come to the Warriors,
I love that this has become a Warriors conversation.
And over the 5-year period, because I do think their guys do parallel their core guys.
Right.
Well, we're talking about dynasties.
Their core guys are old school in that sense.
Yeah, they wouldn't have been able to win. It would have been hard for them probably over the 5 years. They won, what they win? 3 in 5 years. Let's say they would have won 2 in 5 years, just their style. Kept hit Barnes right. or done whatever. And just like, you know, these guys just – like the way Jordan was kind of ripping Scotty, like, listen, about the team. I think they would have got a lot more respect on the outside, even though what were they supposed to do? Tell Kevin no, you know, and fucking keep Harrison Barnes.
I agree. I'm with you. Yeah.
But you just would have, and that's, I don't, Steph, Clay, and Draymond are like, fuck, we stayed and we took a lot of pride in this thing. Hell, till Kevin's dying days, Draymond's screaming at him to take some pride. Like, they never changed. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think just back in the day with the way the Bulls were set up, because they never really, I don't think they would have been able to win most years the 98 championship, right? Because they went to 7 sure. against the Pacers. Scottie's back's fucked up. Now he's got a bad foot too. And George.
And just, he wants to be traded.
And he's just miserable. I mean, Phil probably got 1 foot out the door. Well, I mean, Phil was kind of, there was a cool scene when Phil slams the locker room door.
Right.
It's like, God, you don't see get Phil like that often get like that.
How about that locker room?
How small it was?
Yeah, it was just like an airport carpet and like some stools. And a trainer's table in the corner.
It is like Oracle. It does look like Oracle locker room was a piece of shit. It was just,
to me, it shows you also that the guys miserable. Just adapt. Like if you give them a shitty locker room, guys just have a shitty locker room. You don't even think about it.
It's just straight to the club or the
casino what's Lakers locker room now? Don't they have like heated stuff and like individual TVs? And it's just
your mansion. Your basic college basketball team has individual TVs.
Yeah, Duke
like Stanford would have that.
Yeah, I don't know if Stanford does.
But yeah, I was like, going to say, I want to.
Non-major programs have sweet shit.
Yeah, you're probably right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, it's not all crazy. Right. There's a lot of money, but.
Well, before we get out of here, let's tie this all back. Give me your take and feeling through the first episode. Did it live up to expectations, and are you excited for the rest of them? Guy, you can go first. Because you're yes. on the screen.
Yes and yes. I mean, yeah, I mean, I saw a lot of stuff I hadn't seen before, just in terms of footage. And I think for me, the best thing that this documentary has going for it, and to John's point, like you get all this practice footage, you get all this footage that had been sitting in a storage closet in Secaucus since they filmed it. Which is like all that's pretty crazy that like people have tried to make this documentary, didn't make it. But that Michael speaks honestly about all these things that are happening to me is all I really need. Cause we haven't really heard Michael that much. And if you do hear Michael, it's, you know, he does so many random interviews, Good Morning America and all this other stuff. But to have somebody who's done 2 years of research and has seen all this unseen film before talking to MJ like that. And I, you know, we all knew this before we started watching it tonight, but the fact that they have full participation from Michael. And I think the value of that cocaine story early was it just kind of told you, okay, you're getting like open Michael. You're not getting Mike, who's just a part of this because for whatever reason he agreed to be a part of it. Like, this is Michael trying to, I think Wilbon said this, or maybe Ramona wrote this, or like, this is Michael controlling his narrative to the degree that he can, even though all this footage kind of speaks for itself. So yeah, that's really all I need is Mike.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. For me, it's going to be interesting to see the players that I've watched growing up now do it. I mean, Kobe's not going to get one, but Duncan, I want to see one for Duncan.
I think Kobe could get one because they would have so much film. I mean, he wouldn't be in it, but
yeah,
narrating it. But I think he could get a real one because they'd have so much film on.
He's got to appear in this one at some point, right? Ooh, he's in this. I remember that. From the promo, they show him sitting down.
Oh, wow.
He was in the promo, and then, you know, he passed fantastic. And they stopped putting him in the promo because it's, but yeah, he'll definitely be in it at some point.
I mean, I want to see a Magic and fucking Bird one. Like, shit. But
did he make that?
Not that I want.
I want to see one, not to this one level. There's one on HBO that's not on this level, but it's pretty good.
See a LeBron one. You know, LeBron has a documentary team with him for the last 20 years. Oh, he's got one for his kids. He's got one for him. He's got one for, I mean, at least the stuff.
Quibi or whatever. What's that?
What was the Bronny tweet from Joey Molinaro?
Bronny went 100.
Just a lot of TikTok stuff, but I leave it up to your guys' thoughts too. I enjoyed it. I thought it's great. It's refreshing to see a star player talk about actually winning games. I think that's and also I think the craziest part is, at least to me, it seemed like he could get coached. And you know, a lot of the times, you know, in the NBA, it's different from Kyle Shanahan, who can make a, you know, a shitty offense, you know, pretty good. The NBA, it's like, look, man, if you got shitty players, it doesn't matter what fucking scheme you have, you're gonna be good. So it was kind of cool to see MJ, you know, kind of listen to his coach. It was kind of cool to see like a cohesive team. You don't see much of that in today's NBA.
No, to me, the key is Michael being transparent and honest. And I think the alcohol, and I wonder, part of the reason he's drinking, part of the reason he's drinking is just, I mean, this is not, you don't see him super candid a lot anytime. I mean, I bet his friends do, a small percentage of people do, but he's not like this publicly. So probably he needs to get liquored up a little bit just so he could be his true self. And you kind of see it come out sometimes. Like, he'll just get kind of fired up and it's like, God, this is badass. And then just to me, the way they shot it, I think, Guy, you're right. That cocaine story kind of like, whoa, this thing's kind of getting just here. Michael dropped the line. Like, there are lines, like, and you realize, yeah, there's probably cocaine everywhere in America at the time. So why wouldn't the rich guys have it? You know, it's the NBA players. Of course they're doing it. And to me, he's going to make the doc, because all the other guys, like Kurt is awesome. You know, Phil, Rodman, like, those guys are going to say, you can tell Scotty doesn't give a shit. Like, those guys,
we can get as much John Paxson as we want.
Yeah. I mean, those guys are always willing to let it rip. To me, if Michael lets it rip, it'll never be touched.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Sam, you want to wrap us up? Your thoughts?
After Sam wraps us up, I have one more question for you guys.
Oh, no. Go with your question.
I'll answer this one first.
Okay. To the question. No, I'm just excited to see it. I'm excited to see the rest of it, see the behind-the-scenes footage. I'm hoping we get more practice and candid footage, because these first two episodes were 80%
like interview narrative.
Yeah, like history. And like, I get it. You know, I don't need to learn about Jordan at North Carolina, but like the average viewer probably does. So I'm curious to see how deep they go into it. Like, they gave you teasers.
Need the
this
meat.
Episode
Sam needs the meat.
Of like him yelling at his teammates and stuff like that. So
Charmin.
To me, though, where that's cool is it's like NBA royalty talking, or basketball.
Right, right.
It's
right.
Like Roy Williams. It's James Worthy. You're like, oh, sure. Damn. You know, it's like
James Worthy. James Worthy saying like, yeah, I was better than him for two. Like, that guy's really good. And then him just kind of saying, yeah, this guy fucked me up. Like, I'm a scrub, basically. And I'm just sitting there like, damn. Like, that's a grown man talking about.
Would that ever happen today?
No.
A player of James Worthy's stature talking about, even if the guy's way better than them, players don't talk like that.
No. And you got Trae Young out here talking about, you know, he's going to be better than Steph. Like, no, that's not happening today's game. So we'll let you
we're going to have another Trae Young podcast. But
that leads us to my question, which is this documentary going to change anybody's opinion that thinks the 73-win Warriors are better than the 72 win Bulls or just well, the best
I don't know if anybody thinks that they're better though. I think
could beat could beat them.
I think it's would the 16-17. The 16-17 Warriors is going to be the one that people are going to say is can that team beat the Bulls? Because there are a lot of people that have watched both and have said that the Warriors are just as good, if not better.
The 96 Bulls against the first KD team.
Yeah.
Well, I think the thing we're going to take away from it, hopefully, if it's done right, is you can put together a perfect storm of a team for one season. But what makes the 98 Bulls special is like they were splintering apart and they still won it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's what we're going to take away from it. It's like, I mean, it's kind of a direct shot at LeBron. LeBron's individually as good as
I love this podcast.
But I mean, he's directly as good as anyone ever, right?
So yeah, easily. I mean,
but has he ever three-peated? Has he ever been able to hold a team together?
Yeah, that's
for that long. No, every one of his teams kind of follows the same formulaic path. They get built up, they get to a certain level where they're unbeatable, and then they fall apart. So I think that's, I feel like that's going to be what the whole documentary is going to try to pull together. It's harder to win when everyone has differing agendas in year three, year four going the other way than it is to get to the mountaintop.
How many guys like Mike could be that famous, be that accomplished, make that much more money than the number two guy in a squad, yet like balance this big picture team, all about the team, being disappointed in Scotty and saying it with a straight face that Scotty's making like 2.7 and he's making 33.
He's making 15 times more than
that. That might have been
being selfish.
Yeah, that was the part where I was like, I love MJ the whole way. That was when I was like, yeah, okay, you might want to slow down on that.
Well, it's like, why didn't Mike? That's where I get back to, like, has Mike thrown Scotty a little cash over the years? Like, why didn't Mike go to bat for Scotty the way he's talking about him? Like, hey, can we get this guy a little bump? I mean, Jesus.
Literally a little
they
bump.
They should mention my name with his, unless it's a checking account.
Can we get one before we get the take on, though, the KD Warriors?
And sure, somebody got to work tomorrow? I mean,
the 96 Bulls. Here would be my thing. The Warriors would have more firepower just because they got three elite guys. At the end of the day, they got Michael. 96 was incredible. Scotty was dominant. But they, I mean, you know, Rodman, let's say Rodman, Draymond, a wash. My thing with Michael, and Phil is good at this too, their mental head games, Michael would say things to you that you can't say.
So you're saying Michael and KD would have been.
He would have been so mean to Kevin. Because they would have, him and Phil would have located the weak link mentally, and it would have been Kevin. Because Clay's unfazed, Draymond and fucking Rodman doing their thing. Steph, like Michael, could check Steph physically and, you know, give him trouble, but like they wouldn't be able to mentally fuck with him. I think they now Kevin, like Scotty, he's taller than Scotty. Now Scotty's a great player, but I think they could mentally fuck with him. Now Clay, like what Ron Harper gonna guard Clay? Because you would imagine Michael would check Steph, Scotty check Kevin. Ron chase Clay, right? But I just wonder if Kevin, again, we'd never be able to do this in real life, but in the hypothetical world, could hang. I mean, Phil would be saying shit in the media about Durant. They would be saying shit about like his upbringing. They would say things that now again, Kevin is physically as you know a top 12 player probably all time. Like he could hang.
I do think the one thing we haven't really seen from Kevin is him mentally shrinking games.
But LeBron's not like some mental fucking juggernaut coming after your family.
That's true.
I just think Michael has always been
the dichotomy of KD to me, where it's like, how can you be arguing with people in the DMs and then be that calm in the game?
I was gonna say
it's a weird thing.
So like with Patrick Bev,
it kind of just makes you rethink.
Yeah. It's so like Pat Bev is not MJ, but it's like you can see he comes at him. KD's obviously rattled in the media. He's talking all this shit, but he comes on the court and the guy drops 40. And that's where you're like, yeah, he might be sensitive and on Twitter, on social media, but on the court, that motherfucker is nasty. Like
anger works for him. So like
like MJ though.
Elite Scotty checking Kevin. Yeah.
Here's how Michael I saying mean down. Things. It really depends which era's rules you go by.
It will.
I mean, three pointer. This is the cop out answer, but like,
but it's
honestly,
true.
If you if you can't hand check, how effective are Scotty and MJ defensively against them?
But also, do we let Scotty and Michael take threes for like 2 years before we play this game?
Yeah, it's true.
But I think Michael could, though, like mirror, you know, he could stay in front of Steph. Like,
I mean,
like,
so there's no problem with that. But I'm just saying, like, if they're taking 35 threes a game and Mike and Scotty are taking eight, which is what they took.
That's where it's hard to even make this argument. You know?
At a certain point, the math doesn't work in their favor.
I watched game six of the 93 finals today in like a 20 minute recap because I was a Suns fan that year. And Richard, or I guess it was game one, Richard Dumas gave the Bulls some problems. Richard averaged like 60. He was like 6'7". He was long. They couldn't really guard him. Marley shot 43% from three in that series. And Marley was the only one Danny Ainge took 12 threes, was 8 for 12. So Ainge went 8 for 12
in a game or in the series?
No, in the series. But Marley shot a ton of threes. Marley shot 43%. So they couldn't really stop Marley from hitting threes. And that team obviously was not like Kevin Johnson was great, but he wasn't Steph and
sure
much shorter. But I do think the Warriors.
Again, that's the funny thing.
I think they give him problems.
You see Kerr, Mike Brown versus Phil, though. Who do you like there?
Same style. No one calls any timeouts.
Kerr coaching
to stop
against
runs.
Player Kerr. Who do you like in that matchup?
You'd shut him down.
I think the Warriors probably have a chance to win games by 20, but I think the Bulls win every close game. So who knows? But who knows?
I just know this. Even though the era thing is true and you can't comp them, I just think the Bulls were – I just put them at the top of the mountain.
Yeah. But, like, in fairness to Kevin, for being a guy that you're right, gets we all talk about him, Becky, being mentally weak – he doesn't shrink in these moments. Like historically, a lot of like the Malones, the Hardens, I'm talking Hall of Famers. Like he's fucking taking LeBron and shitting on him. So you're like, well, even if Michael is saying mean things to him, like if he just shoots shots, they're going to probably go in, right?
He can't be guarded. The guy just pulls up on LeBron. There's no.
I think Michael would like him a lot. Like this is style. Like they would be like, Jesus Christ, there wasn't anyone like that.
Yeah.
You know?
No, there never will be.
But he tried to kill him. That'd be the thing. They might just fight him. That would be a problem for Kevin.
Just be Draymond.
He's going to take him golfing.
Yeah.
Hey, actually, that might
Well, work. That'd be a problem. Yeah, he'd take Steph golfing, and they'd bet like 25K a hole. Steph might beat Michael, right? And then Michael was a reverse handicap.
I love that every like superstar golfing outing story from like the 90s always involves some random writer that's just like gets to play with the guys. Like, who was the guy? I guess he wrote Jordan's book, so maybe they were tight.
Sam Smith.
No, it wasn't Sam Smith.
Ethan's not golfing with anyone. Tell you what, it's not what Strauss.
Ethan's not on the KD. He's not. MJ golf game.
You're right though. Think about like the equivalent of like, oh, it's just like doing a doc in 10 years on Kevin. It's like Kevin Strauss,
Slater,
and, like, Kleiman, and Slater just fucking hanging. Like, having a couple
more likely that it's
Kawakami and a turtleneck.
Sam Kleiman, and KD all up in the Millennium Tower, just doing lines.
but again. There's so much to this shit. There was an element of just the media was a lot different, but really wasn't that different. Like the media, a guy writing a book, still not making like that. He's still a media guy.
Now they know they can just get rid of him because people will just buy their propaganda at all times.
Well, was that it? You think they were just playing? Yeah. Was Michael just playing the game, or did he kind of like the guys? I don't know. Kind of feels like Michael just got along with weird people that the DNA, like the guy wouldn't get along with today.
It's probably both. I don't think he was thinking big enough picture to start his own media company.
But I don't even think it crossed his mind. He's like, you want to write a book on me? Come playing golf, me, Danny, fucking grab some beers and let's play.
How did him and Danny? I want more on that story.
By the way, we're gonna cut in Middlecoff saying, shoot the ship, shoot the fuck. She just sent over a text and wants us to cut in Middlecoff on his radio show. What is it? Something about Corona on a ship. Shoot that shit down. Who sent a text? Rashid. He's Warriors World. I don't know.
Oh, sorry, Sheed. Okay,
biggest fan of Middlecoff. Just the biggest.
Oh, two guys who got suspended for a time on Twitter. That's what that's about.
Biggest. He loves
again. I got in trouble
for 12 hours.
Suspended for 12 hours. The Athletic got mad at me because I wanted to sink the ship that had Corona, and Twitter like
I missed your suspension. Wow.
Well, it was 12 hours. Started at 9 at night, and I was back on at like 8 in the morning.
You just had to delete the tweet or something?
I think they automatically do it, but it's like
you had to not fight it. That's what I'm
iconic.
Yeah, if I appealed it, but I didn't know how long the appeal process would be. It's like people thought I wanted just innocent people to die. And now, you know, a month later, we're been in quarantine, and that ship could have been a huge part of bringing Corona. Who knows? It's aged pretty well, I'd say.
Oh, man.
Are you about to get suspended again?
Oh, that's good stuff. Yeah, we're getting Ben to cut that wood in. I'll send that one over. It's beautiful.
Is Sheed ever coming back, or is it just Twitter over for him?
Dude, it might be over. He's gotten suspended like 5 times. I don't even know what he's doing. I don't either.
I never seen his crazy tweets, to be honest with you. I don't think it's crazier than anyone else.
Might be like film stuff, like media. Like you can't post certain videos and shit. I think the NFL is kind of rigid about that. Or he got in trouble with Derek Carr too, which is pretty funny. But
does he post that many videos of film?
I guess he roasts Derek Carr. We'll end it there. He makes fun of Derek Carr. Derek Carr, not a fan.
But I feel like a lot of people roast Derek Carr in
the media. Yeah, I guess when you have, I don't know. Yeah, Derek Carr
is not MJ.
That's your guy, Sam, not my guy. My guy's a top five. My guy's back. He just missed one throw. That's all. We'll be back next week.
Well, Jordan Love might be your quarterback come Friday.
Yeah. Well, maybe he'll be Mahomes. Maybe Jimmy G's Alex Smith and Jordan. I can talk myself into anything.
I meant Jordan Love to the Raiders.
To the Raiders. Oh,
yeah, to the Raiders.
Okay, I was gonna say.
Let's keep an eye on the bandwagon.
They leave the state. I'm done.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Well, they're not gone yet.
Yeah.
Actually, quarantine kind of slowed down their move, huh?
Yeah.
They've 17 people have gotten Corona at the stadium, but they just keep on building. So the entire all of Vegas. I'll give them credit. Everything in Vegas, literally everything is shut down except that stadium.
Oh my God.
So I'm in the construction industry, and it's every day we have to put together a new formalized memo for how our workers on site are going to stay safe so they can keep working. So there's zero, Ben, you're editing this all off, by the way.
Yeah.
You guys are
wrapping it up 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, none of this happens every time.
We can never wrap it up. But maybe throw the construction. That's not the first time I've heard
that. I got all my Bulls takes in here. Oh, let me check my notes.
This guy's like, I got to throw everything in. I'm done. I'm good. But if you want to throw,
I got it all. Oh, 15-foot jumpers look funny from guys that are like 6'4" nonstop.
He was doing the weird kind of.
I did feel like a lot more white guys were really good back in like the 80s and 90s than there are now. Like your Dan Marley take, watching a Suns game a couple weeks ago. Dan Marley's just a really good player. You know, I'm just like, I just don't think there's that many like legit white guys.
Gordon Hayward.
Steph.
Yeah, he's one. Steph.
Yorn.
Levine.
Oh.
He got retweeted in my timeline tonight. Like, I can't get enough of this. It's like, oh, shut up, Zach.
work on 41s first.
Everybody has Mamba mentality all of a sudden. It's like, right. The point of it is that 90% of people don't. 99% of people
99%,
don't.
99%, yeah.
I got a lot of Zach Levine type players in my timeline, and I get retweeted. They're just like, I live for this. This is what the league's about. It's like,
you're gonna get a Zach Levine on the Warriors next year, by the way, with Anthony Edwards. So look forward to that.
Hey guys, thanks for coming on our podcast. It was a pleasure.
Very well done. No, thank you, though.
Later, guys.
Adios. Good.